This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Right, I mean, it's an absolute honour and a privilege to have Kurt Brandon from Theatre of Hate, Spear of Destiny, Dead Men Walking on the Chelsea Fancast. What Kurt doesn't know is that in the early 80s, I split my life between following bands like Spear of Destiny at the Palais and the Lyceum, and then Saturday afternoons at the Bridge watching the likes of Kerry Dixon. So that is it's amazing for me to have you on the show, Kirk, I've got to say.
Thank you very much. That's brilliant. Thanks.
You gave us a lot of pleasure back in those days, and you still are now. We'll talk about that later. But the first thing I've got to pick up on, you did this amazing tweet to me not so long ago. You've got a fascinating family connection to Chelsea. Your grandfather was at the first Chelsea home game at Stamford Bridge, wasn't he?
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. My cousin, David McCleave, who's... about 10 years older than me, I was went round to his house in Wimbledon not so long ago. I hadn't seen him since I was about 14, although we speak on the phone every 5 or 10 years. And he said, "Do you know something? You know your grandfather?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know, we're all Chelsea." I said, "Yeah, of course we are." He said, "Well, your grandfather was at the actual first Stamford Bridge game ever when he was like a teenager, a very young teenager." I said, "You're joking." He said, "No, it's absolutely true. He's very proud of it." Yeah, well, you know, when he was alive. I mean, he died in the 70s. But, yeah. So that was really, fantastic, you know. My dad took me as a boy, you know, 4 or 5, down to the bridge. We stood in the shed. Why he took me to the shed, I don't know.
Well, it was the only place to be, Kirk. It was the only place to be. I mean, so that would have been what? That would have been late 60s, early 70s?
Yeah, 60s, yes. You know, and I've got some real memories of that, you know, going there. I was only a little lad, you know, and there's all the skinheads there and all the maniacs. And I always remember a couple of instances. One was this bloke up the back. It was a skinhead up the back. And he had this bucket. He brought a bucket. Don't ask me. And he pulled his back. And he's banging the daylights of it up the back, just banging it, banging and banging and banging it. And I always thought it was really bizarre, even as a boy, you know, a teenager. I thought, of course, he's really mad. And but it all just added to it. It was brilliant, you know. And another time we had an old geezer die. If anyone out there remembers this, then they'll know what I'm talking about. He died in the shed. And so what they did. The game carried on. They had like a raincoat on. I always remember he had a raincoat. And they passed him out on their hands over their heads. And there were some stewards down the bottom, and some of the blokes jumped out, and they took his body and they laid him behind the goal, and the game just carried on.
Good grief! When was this?
Even though he's dead.
When was this?
No, this is funny. Oh God, I don't know.
60s, 70s.
Yeah, I was 60s.
Yeah.
60s. And it was just really. I mean, everyone's. I'm laughing about it. It was actually a respectful silence up there.
Yeah.
Shed
yeah.
At that moment. It was kind of like the old geezer had died, and they just. And it seemed natural. Just lay him out behind the netting, and that's where he stayed, and the game carried on.
Blimey. Well, if you're going to go, I can think of worse ways.
What a way to go! Brilliant.
Absolutely.
Absolutely brilliant.
So basically, you come from a long. Well, I mean, you can trace your Chelsea lineage in your family right back to the beginning, which is I don't think I've ever met anybody who has a connection to that first game. But your dad took you along. I mean, you're a Westminster boy, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm from Westminster. We're an old Westminster family and been there for about, I don't know, 140 years. You know, in the cheap seats before anyone starts having a go.
It's changed a bit now, hasn't it?
Yeah, and in World War Two, they went down in the Westminster Tube, and when they come up, not only was their house gone, the street was gone.
Blimey.
They dropped £5,000 bombs on it. Like pre-World War Two, on an A to Z, you'll see Esher Street. Post 45, there is no Esher Street. So they bundled them, God knows where, and then they built them the marzipan flats down Horsefray Road, Page Street.
I know, yeah, the Page,
that's where they ended up.
Yeah, you're right, they are, they're Marzi, like checkerboards, aren't they?
Actually, I think I probably got it wrong, it's probably Battenberg cake, that's probably what
That would work.
No, it's like
work.
Squares, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But as we've got photographs of me when I was a kid out the back, you know, with my sister and my mum, and it was, I always thought they were black, the whole buildings were black. And then somebody had the idea of cleaning everything.
Mm.
And when they cleaned it, it's black and white squares.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Looks like a cake.
Yeah. Great stuff. So, you know, early memories going to Chelsea. Do you remember your first game, Kirk?
I think so. I think I do. I mean, I can't be sure. I was very young.
Yeah.
I was, you know, about 4 or 5, you know. Dad took me along on his shoulders, and I think I was more interested in the hot dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, we watched the game, and you know, and I'll never forget it. Right down the other end from what was the shed in them days. Right down the other end, we used to stand there on him. What do you call it? You know, the concrete steps with the iron.
Yep.
Railings, you know, it's gone out there, is what they're called. The terraces, obviously. It's terraced. And he's standing. And I always remember Dad and all these blokes. And all these blokes, Dad had come back from World War Two, and, you know, and I always remember them just going, everyone going mental, swearing and shouting. And only in later years have I realised what it actually was. It's basically an exorcism.
Yep.
It's like an exorcism with all that stuff from World War Two.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And then they go absolutely mental. And then every now and then, some bloke would shout something out that was really funny, and you'd have like 100 blokes laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember that. I remember that distinctly. Dad used to, his veins were bulging. He was punching his palms with his hands. He was, you know, trying to mangle the railings. He's going mental, as they all were.
Mm.
You know, and I always remember this as a boy. I never felt frightened, but I just didn't really quite understand what was going on. You know, obviously I didn't, but, you know. But, I mean, it brilliant times, you know, it's exciting. You know, it's really exciting. And still is. I'm not looking back through the rosy glasses and going, you know, yeah, when I was a boy and all this. But no, it's just as exciting today.
Yeah. Well, I will look through rose-tinted spectacles because I think that a lot of that has been lost in football. And I think that at the end of the day, it's raison d'etre, it's reason to be, is so working men could let their hair down on a Saturday and just go for it. And I think it has changed. And I'll be honest with you, Kirk, I don't think it's changed for the better. Although I have to be honest to say the football that we watch there nowadays is slightly better than it was when I first started going, that's for sure. I mean, did you get along much these days?
Every now and then, yeah. My my girlfriend's got a gang that have been going to Chelsea all their lives, and you know, when one of them gets ill or doesn't want to go to a game, then we get offered up, you know, a ticket so we can go. Or in actual fact, she sees more games than I do. But she goes with the Chelsea girls. It's a bunch of about six women, and they'll go there and they love it. Absolutely Chelsea-fied, you know, completely.
Yeah. You know, lovely.
And every now and then I get want to go along. So a lot of the time I'm sort of busy. But if I can make it, I will be there. You know, oh, I love it.
You know, going back a bit again, I mean, you know, you grew up in a really superb era for Chelsea, because I'm getting the feeling that you were around for the Kings Road team, you know, the Osgoods, Alan Hudsons, Charlie Cook, Tommy Baldwin era. Yeah, that kind of era. I mean, who was your first Chelsea hero?
First Chelsea hero? Really, it's hard to call. I always... Something stick in my mind, you know, Chopper stuck in my mind, obviously. You know, so Ron Harris. But I used to like Hutchinson. No one had ever seen anything like it. I remember being there and seeing the Hutch get the ball just past the halfway line. And everyone was running for the goal. And I thought, why are they running for the goal? And then he did this incredible throw and dropped it virtually in front of the goalkeeper, and people almost scored. And I've never seen anything like that in my life. I mean, maybe today it's common, I don't know. But apparently he's double jointed, I'm told, and he could throw the ball, and it was amazing to watch. It was just like, wow, how does anyone do that? You know what I mean?
It's like a human windmill, wasn't it? I mean, it was quite remarkable.
Yeah, his arms flew. They just went, whoosh, 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 you know, like a, I don't know, windmill. Yeah, windmill.
Yeah.
Really so fast.
Did you get a chance to see the FA Cup final in 1970?
My dad came home that day and he said, right, son, we're going to see the game. We're going to Wembley. I said, have we, Dad, you got a ticket? He said, don't worry about that. So we trundle to Wembley. And we get there, and there's a fence out the side or the back, I can't remember. Must have been about, I don't know, 15 feet tall, 20 feet, I don't know, something like that. And they said, right, up we go. And all along was all these blokes scrambling up there over the wire mesh. They said, come on, son, up we come. And so I went up there, right, and he got to the top, and he waited for me, and then built me over the other side and went down. We went in and joined the other Chelsea, all shouting the Reds of watching the game. And it was fantastic. But I've got another memory, which isn't quite so good. It's when we arrived on the tube. I mean, I don't know the situation. I don't really know what was going on. But there was blokes running down the tube in butcher's aprons with cleavers. And I thought, and Dad said, stay close, son, stay close. They're not after us. They're just going to kill each other. Let them kill each other. It's great. That's what they want to do. And I said, all right, Dad, all right. You know, and it was war parties. It was war parties going to kill each other.
Crazy.
And what happened then, I've no idea. We got off the station while the ruckus was going on. And it was really quiet. That was mad. That really was mad. Seeing blokes running in butcher's aprons with a cleaver in their hand. That was just crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, all I can say is thank God it's not happening now.
Yes. You know? I mean, if there's one good thing that's happened about modern football, it's your chances of getting attacked by a bloke wearing a butcher's apron and a meat cleaver have somewhat reduced, which we should be thankful for, I think. You know, just looking back at... Well, indeed, there'd be a bit of a shock if there was, I think. I mean, just looking back at your time supporting Chelsea, I mean, you know, what's your kind of, you know, is there a favourite moment that you can pinpoint?
I don't know. I mean, it's really, really difficult because I'm so into it now that you know, into what's going on now. That, you know, when I love Eden Hazard, when he gets the ball, it's just fantastic, you know. And, you know, Alonso, I really like Alonso, you know. When he was scoring recently, he was brilliant. I don't know, there's loads of it. Obviously, Didier Drogba, you know, he scored some fantastic winning goals and, you know, contributed to a lot of silverware, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
And my girlfriend always has a go at me. I always go, JT's innocent. And, you know, I'm sure he is. I love JT. And obviously, Frank is, you know, the best. Frank's the best. He's the ultimate Frank.
Mm.
But I love JT. I think he's brilliant.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sadly missed.
Sadly missed. So super Frankie, you know, so missed. You know, Costa. I thought Costa was really funny. Obviously, a lot of people on the pitch didn't think he was funny, but he was just at it all the time, wasn't he? He was brilliant.
Well, I think that's true. I think the game. You know, I think it's really sad what happened with Costa, because I think he got vilified in the media and became a bit of a pantomime villain for them, and I think that's a great shame, because I think you need characters like that in the game. There aren't enough of them.
You too.
Yeah, and he was a naughty boy, but that's kind of why we liked him. We should talk a little bit about this season, Chelsea, because I know you and I occasionally, you know, share a bit of a chat on Twitter about what we think's been going right or wrong. It's been a funny old season, hasn't it, compared to last season, which was superb, but this season's been a bit... There was an expression going around the pub on Sunday after the match, and the general consensus was it's all a bit meh.
You know, I always try to read into it, you know, about the players, and you think, are these blokes actually doing it? Or are they actually doing it for themselves? Are they actually doing it for their teammates? Are they really trying? Mm. You know, you're always looking to see if the team is performing as a team. And I'm going to go against the run of dialogue, probably. And I think they have. I think, you know, like the game the other day, you know, against West Ham, if Joe Hart hadn't pulled off, like, miracle saves, it would have been 3-1 Chelsea.
Yeah.
But for some reason, there was Joe Hart with his very end of his fingertips, you know, swerving balls outside the post. And that header from, you know, Oliver Giroud, you know, that should have gone in, but for some reason he got there. So really, there was two absolutely glaring goals that would have got in any other situation that had gone in, except Joe Hart decided to turn up times 100. And save the day at the West Ham. So if that had been the score, and you've had slightly inferior goalkeeper, and it had been 3-1, they wouldn't be going, well, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
It's just you're up against, you know, arguably the best goalkeeper, the best goalkeeping, you know, you've seen for Joe Hart in years.
Yeah, yeah.
I
think it's a bit, you know, we had a bit of a ding-dong about it on the fan cast last night. You know, me and Clayton were very much, it's all about perspective, you know. It's not quite as bad as you think it is. And Jonathan and Marco were very much, nope, they've had it. They're all feeling really negative about it. And we were kind of really saying that we think a lot of the negative, because there is a lot of negativity around the club at the moment, certainly in the supporters. And my feeling is it's kind of come from Conte, really, because he's moaned a lot this season and he's been quite negative about what's been going on. And I, you know, it's a bit like that, you know, the old fish rots from the head syndrome.
It's hard. It's really hard to say.
Yeah. I'm
me personally, like everyone else, like all the fans, we're on the outside looking in.
Absolutely.
And what really goes on in that change of room or out at Cobham, what really goes on, you will not know.
Yep.
You know, and people, you know, it's like bands. You know, bands get in funny moods, and when they get in a funny mood together, doesn't really work. No one really understands why. And then all of a sudden you go out and play a show, for some reason, everybody turns up. They come on stage and, you know, everyone's laughing and joking and swearing at each other and saying, you know, where the... you been the last six months?
Yeah.
You know, and then they'll turn around and say, where have you been?
Yeah.
And for some reason, it clicks. And I sort of think it might be like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm imagining, I'm not in it. Obviously, I'm not down there at Cobham. I'm not part of them. I'm just some bloke. But, you know, it's... You know, do you know what I mean? You don't really know.
No, you don't.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe, you know, he's Conte's sitting there feeling a bit vulnerable. And, you know, the team aren't really... You know, tucking the goals away, and they've had a lot of luck go against them. You know, e.g., West Ham the other day. But I don't know. It's a funny thing, and it, as people keep saying, at the end of the day, where are you in the league, at Premiership, and where, you know, are you winning? Are you winning? Mm. You're not.
Mm.
Right. So there's a problem.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
What's the problem? And then they start looking for the problem. Next thing you know, it's him. No, it's him. No, it's that, them two. And then before you know it, the rumour mill starts, and a lot of these players get on. You know, they go on social media and they say, "Hang about, it's all about me. They've been really horrible to me, you know, or negative, or unpositive, or what do you want to say? I don't know. Maybe the young guys they might." Be swayed by that. I don't know.
No, I think
it's just conjecture.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. You know, we don't know, and we'll never know. I do like your comparison, though, with the football team being like a band. And if that's the case, Chelsea for me this season have been a band playing all the right notes, but quite probably in the wrong order. You know.
Okay.
But it's all about cohesion, isn't it? And I do get that. There's a vibe, isn't there? I mean, with any team, any group of people, if it's going to work, you've all got to buy into it and kind of almost be as one. And I think that you know, I heard Jason Cundy on the radio last night, and he said much the same thing, actually. He said that, you know, we've got a lot of really good individuals, but they're not really playing as a team at the moment. And I think that really speaks volumes for what you've just said. I'm glad you brought... Sorry, go on, Kurt.
Yeah, I think some people, you know, like William, you know, who's just genius, you know, I think... And Hazard, you know, the ball players, and Pedro probably, you know, they're frustrated that they're not... I'm not going to say not getting a service, but they're frustrated that some of the link work doesn't link up. And we've all seen them glorious things when you've got, you know, Willian and Moses and Hazard and whoever linking up, and it's like magic. They pass the ball to each other, they take the other players out of the equation. Next thing, you know, they stand there, the ball's in the end of, they turn around, start running, cheering, and it works. But that at this moment in this season, or this period, doesn't seem to have really happened, you know.
Well, in that case, yeah, Kirk, anyway, no doubt next season we'll win the league again, because this is kind of what we do, isn't it?
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Cheech.
JK! In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Cheech, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across six devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
I'm glad you've introduced the concept of music, because I'm absolutely dying to talk to you about music. As I said, you know, talk about football heroes. Without sounding too gushing and fanboy, you were one of my musical heroes when I was a kid. So, but it's fascinating with Chelsea, isn't it? Because there's a huge, huge, huge connection between Chelsea and music, especially punk. I mean, you know, we were talking before we started recording, you know, Joe Strummer, Charlie Harper, the members, Paul Cook, Steve Jones, Billy Idol, John O'Neill, Madness. And I mean, I could go on. I mean, there's so many, you know, great musicians from the kind of the punk and post-punk era who are Chelsea supporters. And I've been racking my brains to think why this is, and I can't find an answer. I wonder if you could shed any light on it at all.
I can't, you know. I mean, a lot of these people are West London, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Joe, I mean, I don't really know where Joe came from.
Well, they were all up in Ladbroke Grove, weren't they?
It's all around Elgin Avenue, Ladbroke Grove. You know, it's all, you know, Paul Cook, Steve Jones, Shepherd's Bush.
Yeah.
One of my great mates, Robin Goodridge, who plays drums in Bush. Obviously, Shepherd's Bush.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they're all kind of West London boys, and I don't know why it goes with. Why isn't it, you know, someone else, QPR or whatever? I don't know.
Well, we lost Mick Jones to QPR, didn't we?
Yeah, well, I do.
I just about forgive him.
maybe not. Sorry, I'm a bit hard about this. we. I think it's the romanticism of Chelsea's. And for me, I think it's a romantic thing, Chelsea. It's kind of, it's a myth, you know.
Yeah.
When you buy into the myth, you buy into the whole thing, and it's a buzz, isn't it? It's a buzz that's with you all your life, you know. And I know, you know, I went on, when I was in Los Angeles some years back, I went on Jones's jukebox.
Oh, did you?
You know, Steve Jones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From the Pistols, yeah.
Yeah.
And I went in, and I'd met Steve in the old days when he was having a bit of a bad time. I didn't really know him. And then, you know, he's done brilliantly, you know, with his radio show and all the rest of it in America. And first thing he goes, Curtin, the first thing he said to me, "You're Chelsea, yeah?" Yeah. And he commandeered me for the whole radio show.
Brilliant.
The other people was with. He wasn't interested. He wanted to know what the team was doing.
Yeah, he's really into them, isn't he? You know, I worked a bit in LA, and I used to tune into his show, and it was always great to hear his voice. And I remember watching a fantastic interview he did with Joe Cole. And Jonesy was like a schoolboy.
Joey Cole, yeah.
Yeah, he was like a little schoolboy. He was so excited. It was brilliant. I mean, the only theory I've got is, of course, that
I love Joey Cole as well.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I loved him. Yeah, brilliant player. Brilliant
He's
player.
He's here. He's there.
He's every. Yeah. But what was I going to say? Yeah, King's Road. I always wondered if the link really between the music and the football was the fact that, you know, it's all to do with the King's Road as well, which was always the place to hang out. You know, I going back to the days when I used to go and see, you know, Spear of Destiny. It was, you know, the Robot Shop, La Rocca, all of that kind of thing. Yeah. Everybody used to head. Anybody who was anybody headed for the King's Road, and the football followed. You know.
Yeah, I used to have my bass player in Theatre of Hate is Stanley, you know, and complete Chelsea, and Stanley had got this flat down in Sloane Square.
Mm.
And there was this cupboard, this sliding door, the cupboard and a single bed in there. And he said, "Do you want it?" I said, "Yeah, yeah, sure." Me and him used to pay £32 a week each. And I used to live in the cupboard, and I was at my most happy in my whole life, down in that stupid cupboard, chucking knives at the wardrobe.
Oh, brilliant.
You know, shouting. And, you know, and obviously we had, you know, the Chelsea thing going on down there. And Stanley used to go to all the games. He used to go to every, you know, every possible game he possibly could. He was down there with Barnett. Do you know Barnett? The 12 Bar Club.
Oh, oh.
Mark, what am I talking about? Mark Barnett.
Mark Barnett. Barnett. Oh, actually, the name rings a bell, actually. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That mob down there, you know, he's at the 12 Bar Club in Denmark Street.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Closed everything down there and took it over. But he's still going, I believe.
Yeah.
Mark's still going.
Right. Talking of music, Kirk, favourite bands, Spear of Destiny. You've got a new album out. 14th studio album, am I right? Tontine. I've got to be honest. I've given it a listen, and I've got to say, it's just got classic Spear of Destiny written all over it, you know. I mean, your vocals get better and better and better with age, mate. How does that work?
Bit like old cheese, it matures. I don't know. I think I'm just lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, I've lost an octave and a half at the very top.
Yeah.
I don't sound like a cat screaming anymore. But you know, it's a real tenor voice now.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm very lucky to still have a voice. A lot of my contemporaries don't have voices.
Yeah.
But it's people, you know, we've had fantastic reviews in Classic Rock, Mojo, Louder Than War, et cetera, and they've all been glowing reviews of it. But I think it is, you know, I mean, I'm not banging a drum, but I am proud of it. I think it's a great album. There's some fantastic songs on it. And the actual sounds on it are great. They're absolutely first class. But it's, at the end of the day, it's the songs, and I think there's some fantastic songs on it. And it's a great collection of songs, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's how it came across to me. I mean, it's got, you know, as I said, it's got classic overtones of the Spirit of Destiny that I knew and love as a kid, but it's got a maturity about it. It's quite dark and moody as well, I think. It's quite soulful. That's how I'd describe it, you know, some of the songs on there. It's quite a moody album. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, Is it dark? Yes, it is.
I think so.
Parts of it are. There's no denying it.
Yeah.
It's not intentionally done like that. It's just the way it is. Like, you know, songs like, I did one about Brighton.
Yeah.
That's pretty. And the other one is Mr. Livingston, I presume.
Yes.
That is a sad tale.
Yeah.
A great mate of mine sort of ended up in Brazil dead. You know, he's one of these people who had everything, absolutely everything. Made it himself, made his own money, did property, dumdy, and ended up in Brazil, and we all went tragically wrong out there. But it's one of them songs that you just write because you do. It's like you write about things which you actually care about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I can't write a song to order.
No,
that's not how I work.
No. Yeah. Well, I've always felt you wrote from the heart, and I mean, I remember as a kid a lot of the earlier stuff. It was quite angry music, quite political, actually. I think, you know, as well, you know, angry. It's what we liked. What keeps you going, mate?
Kurt. Dad said to me once, it's really mad. I was going to bed, you know, I was just going to bed, and Dad was staying at my house at the time. And he said, son, I said, what, Dad? He goes, anger makes you real, son. Out of the blue. And I went, okay. You know, I'm like about 30, I must point out. And I went to bed, I was like, fucking lunatic.
But it's, you know, it's relevant. And I mean, this is the thing. I mean, do you know what? It's really odd. And again, a lot of my mates, I mean, I've been to more gigs in the last 2 years than I have in the previous, say, 10 or 15. I think it's no coincidence, because I think a lot of the older punk bands that I used to be really into when I was a kid have either come back or are still going. I mean, you know, there's a real revival going. I mean, I was at the Ruts gig with Stiff Little Fingers the other week. They were superb. Again, another band. They get better and better and better with age. Killing Joke, who we used to take it in turns at Christmas times. It would be like 1 week Spirit of Destiny, the next week it was Killing Joke at the Lyceum or the Palais. They're still going strong, and they're still doing new material, and it's superb. The Skids are back. You know, there's so many out there that are coming back, and I can't understand why, but I'm so delighted, and I think maybe it's because there's something that has to be said still, and they're still very relevant, and it's great to see you guys out there still doing it. It really is. Warms the cockles of an old man's heart.
Ah, brilliant. I think without becoming politicised, I think, you know, a very small amount of people in society own virtually everything.
Mm.
The people in the middle are getting forced outwards and downwards, you know, the middle classes, whatever. And the byproduct of it all is a very small amount of everything. The rest, you know, are struggling to stay where they are and hold their heads above all that. And I think there's a lot of angry people out there.
Mm.
You know, I've noticed it. I tour around the country, you know. I go out there and I see some angry faces, you know. It's kind of out there. It's simmering.
Mm.
It's not boiling, it's simmering. And there's a lot of angry faces out there. And I think, you know, that kind of sentiment. Someone said to me the other day, you know, that song Playground of the Rich,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
years ago, said it's more relevant today than it was back then.
Yeah.
And I thought, actually, yes, it's taken out of its context of 1985 or whenever it was, and now put it in the context of today, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, without going mental, I mean, there's plenty of things you see through the media and, you know, through the official voice of the media and, the official voice of the government. And it makes you angry. It just really does, you know, especially with the amount of wealth there is in this country. We should surely take care of our own in this country. We really should. You know, we can't have people. I moved down to Brighton, you know.
Yeah.
And the amount of homeless people wandering around is just, you know, the state of some of these people, you know, it's just diabolical. And we really should take care of our own.
We should. You know, I think
this is not bleeding art.
No.
Liberalism. This is just take care of people.
It's common human decency, Kirk. And like you, I cannot understand that how a country as rich as we are and as supposedly as civilized as we are can't house everybody who needs or wants to be housed. I think that's just unbelievable in 2018. I mean, just before Christmas, you know, I'm on the Chelsea Supporters Trust. We were very involved in organising food banks down at the CFC UK stall. We did very well with that. But, you know, though we did have a few people saying, well, you're Chelsea, why do you have to raise food banks? But you wouldn't believe the need for it even in the borough of Hammersmith and Fulham. It is quite frightening, but there you go. Listen, old fruit, it's also, you know, talking of Spear of Destiny as we were, it's the 35th anniversary of Grapes of Wrath this year, is it not?
That's correct.
There we go. So I got something right then. Well, I should know because I remember buying the bloody thing. But you're celebrating that. You're celebrating that with a spirit.
You're the geezer.
I was the one who bought it. You know, Flying Scotsman. Oh, don't get me started, Kirk. But you know, Spirit of Destiny are doing a tour, aren't they? Is that to back up the anniversary, or are you just doing it for the hell of it?
Yeah, it's a mixture. Back up the anniversary and also play some of the new album. Yeah. People. And obviously, you know, some of the songs that, you know, if you don't play them, they go, you know, gaga about it. You know, like you have to play, you know, Liberator and Mickey and stuff like that. You have to play all that stuff.
Yeah.
Otherwise, people feel disappointed, you know. So, and I appreciate that. You know, these are the people that, you know, have sustained my career, if you want to call it that. They sustained me throughout the years, decades. So, you know, you definitely owe them some gratitude for that. So I do. So we play, you know, quite a lot of the songs they really want to hear. World Service, you know, the big classic songs.
Good.
And that's cool. So it's going to be like, I hate when people say a celebration, you know, it sounds like celebrate what? But, you know, it kind of is.
Well, it's a landmark. It's a milestone, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. There's some fantastic songs on there, you know. Fantastic songs. And why not play them? Why
yeah.
not?
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole concept. And this all kicks off in May. I do this event every year called Weekend at Westworld.
Yep.
It's like 2 days of me shouting my head off. And then we move on to London, which is...
May 13th. May the 13th at the venue.
May 13th, thank you.
Yeah, I only know that because I shall be there with my mate Simon. We'll be enjoying that. I can't wait, actually. And then we've also got tickets for... We're going to see Theatre Hate supporting the Skids in June as well.
That'll be a great night.
It will, because I missed the Skids.
At Shepherd's Bush, yeah.
Yeah, I missed them last year, which really pissed me off, frankly. But it's lovely when you get to see...
They're great. They're absolutely great.
Yeah.
I was with Richard the other night. Richard Chelsea the other night. He's such a nice fella.
Yeah, well, they're...
He lives in Berlin. He lives in Berlin, but come over and cycle about and have a look at the city, you know.
Yeah, well, their album's good too. I mean, they released a new piece of work last year, and that's a cracking album as well. So I'm looking forward to that. So it'll be quite this, you know, a bit like the Spear gig, I suspect. You know, a bit of old and a bit of new, which is always nice, I think. But Theatre Hate again. I mean, you see, because you disbanded Theatre Hate before I had a chance to see them. You see, and I've only just about forgiven you now, but I made up for it last year because me and Simon went to see you in the Garage. In Highbury in Islington.
Okay.
Yeah, and of course, what we forgot, I forgot at the time that Arsenal were playing Man United that day, so that meant we had to get there earlier so we could actually get in a pub. So I was a bit worse for wear by the time I turned up. But I have to say, I mean, you know, talking about a lot of the older bands getting better and better and better, I mean, the musicianship on that night, I mean, it was one of the best gigs I saw last year. It was absolutely phenomenal. So I'm really looking forward to seeing Theatre Hate again. That was cracking, absolutely cracking.
Yeah, we're gonna be doing some shows, you know, later in the year, you know, from the Skids thing onwards, I think. And it's just something that comes together every now and then. We do Theatre Hate. So it's kind of like, it is a bit of catch it if you can, you know, just because it's not a regular thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, Stanley lives in Pennsylvania. John lives in Canada. So, you know, you have to organise people to come together to be able to do it. So... But I mean, it is incredible. I mean, I really enjoy it. For me, it's just fun.
Mm.
I mean, I you know, Stanley goes out the front and does that kind of strange stuff that he does on his own, and he's funny and he's quite brilliant as well. You know, he's Stanley.
I know what you mean. Like, yeah, I mean, having seen it, there is no other way to describe it than just saying, well, he's just Stanley. But he leaps around like a teenager. I mean, it was quite incredible. I mean, it's a great venue, the Garage, it has to be said, and the atmosphere was brilliant. Yeah. I mean, when Simon and I went there were no travellers there. You know what I mean? It was just people who loved the band, loved the music, and just were there to enjoy the moment. And it was a great atmosphere there. So it was a cracking gig. Really enjoyed it. Can't wait till the June gig as well. That'd be cracking. You know, beyond all of that, Kirk, any more plans for another? I mean, I know you've only just released a new album. You got any more plans, more Dead Men Walking, that kind of thing?
The Dead Men Walking thing is like when, you know, Jake Burns, you know, the SLF singer and Segs and Dave from the Ruts, these are the guys in the band at the moment, and unfortunately they're very, very busy people. So, you know, trying to target a time period, trying to tie people down. Give me 2 weeks in this month. I can't. Give me 2 weeks in a month. I can't. But it's a bit like that. But one of these days, you know, it will all come together again, and we'll go do another one, which was a riot. It was a complete riot and very funny. The funniest thing I've ever been involved in my life. Some of that stuff when the audience are shouting stuff out, and it's like vaudeville or some kind of beer hall. It was just hysterical.
Brilliant.
It was very funny.
Yeah, great stuff. Well,
but as far as as far as recording, I could try and do some more new Theatre of Eight tracks at the end of the year. I've got about three ideas. I might generate some more in between with any luck.
Well,
but, it's a good year. It's a good year for me.
Well, it's really
hopefully good year for Chelsea.
Well,
too.
Let's hope so. I was going to say, it's great to hear that you guys are all so busy, actually. And as I said, there just seems to be this, you know, huge wave of energy coming out from some of you guys, and it's just brilliant to see. And if only Chelsea had your energy, Kirk, I think is all I could say.
Maybe they need Super Stanley.
Maybe we need Stanley as manager. Maybe that'll get him going.
Do you know he's got his base rig, because he'd had it done. He'd had his base rig flight case, and it came out, and it was Chelsea brilliant, had the Chelsea crest on the outside of the flight case. I said, Stanley, we better lose that when we go to Leeds.
Well, yes. Probably a good idea, that. Yeah, you've got to be careful up there. Yeah. Final question, Kirk. Obviously I'm going to be seeing you in your kind of acoustic version tomorrow night in Winchester, and then again on Sunday in London, which I'm really looking forward to. But final question, really. Are Chelsea going to win the FA Cup this year?
Yes. I'm just going to say yes. I'm going to say yes because why not? I think they're well capable of it. It's not like they're you know Division 3 people. They're well capable of winning it. Well capable.
Yeah.
You know, I just that lift everybody's spirits about the team. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know whether they win it or not, you know. I'll still be supporting them.
Well, quite exactly. You know, win or lose, up the Blues.
Absolutely.
Always the way.
Sun and rain, the whole deal.
Absolutely. Kirk.
Go
on, mate. Sorry. Yeah.
Loving Chelsea. That's it.
Yeah.
Loving them.
Absolutely. Kirk, I mean, this has been just so enjoyable. I really, really, really appreciate this. Thank you so much for spending the time speaking to us. And as I said, good luck for the rest of the season. Good luck for the album. Yeah. I hope it does really well. And I look forward to seeing the acoustic set, and then Spear on the 13th of May, and then Theodore Haight with the Skids on the 30th of June. It's going to be a cracking summer, mate.
Yeah, nice one, man. Nice.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.